when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, son of Joseph, son of Eli, son of Matthat, son of Levi, son of Melchi, son of Janna, son of Joseph, son of Mattathias, son of Amos, son of Nahum, son of Esli, son of Nagai, son of Maath, son of Mattathias, son of Simei, son of Joseph, son of Judah, son of Joannes, son of Risa, son of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, son of Neri, son of Melchi, son of Adi, son of Kosim, son of Almadam, son of Ur, son of Jose, son of Eliezer, son of Jerim, son of Mathat, son of Levi, son of Simeon, son of Judah, son of Joseph, son of Jenin, son of Eliakim, son of Malaya, son of Menan, son of Matatha, son of Nathan, son of David, son of Jesse, son of Obed, son of Boaz, son of Salmon, son of Nashon, son of Aminadab, son of Ram, son of Hezron, son of Pered, son of Judah, son of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, son of Terah, son of Nahor, son of Serug, son of Reu, son of Peleg, son of Eber, son of Shelah, son of Cainan, son of Arphaxad, son of Shem, son of Noah, son of Lamech, son of Methuselah, son of Enoch, son of Jared, son of Mahalalel, son of Cainan, son of Enosh, son of Seth, son of Adam, the son of God. So, Adam was created in God's image. Adam was to be a little picture that God put of himself in all of the creation. This is an extraordinarily generous and amazing thing that when God created, he actually made one of the things that he created in his own image, so that we ought to praise him. Sophia, don't bother Victoria, and please pay attention. So that we ought to praise him that he is so generous as to make one of his creatures in his own image. But we are those creatures. So not only are we to praise him, we must thank him for that great privilege and glorify him and be humbled and see it as our mission to image him as well as possible, that he might be glorified. And that is why it says, Son of Adam, Son of God. It's recognizing the glory of God's generosity to make one of his creatures in his image. It's recognizing the thankfulness that we ought to have as the creatures that he has made in his image, and the privilege and duty that Adam had. Now, did Adam live in that way? No, he didn't. He sinned against God. He ate the forbidden fruit. He was not deceived and sinned and fell willfully. Now that is, we know that that was the case with Adam, but God has another son. And he has made him now another Adam. And of this Adam and of this son, who is it, Sophia? Who is the Son of God? Jesus. Jesus is the Son of Adam, or sorry, the Son of God. And of him, God the Father says, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Displaying himself, God displaying himself as a Trinity, in order that we might know that this man who has just received a baptism and is praying, God, the eternal Son, praying, offering worship in an act of humiliation, resting upon God as his help because he has added to himself humanity. And God, the eternal Son, not just praying, not just humbled to be a human, but having received a baptism, identified with all these others that were all done now. So that as they had had this baptism that told them that they needed to repent, and they had received the water that John put on them, saying, you must repent. And they've been receiving instruction for what sin to turn from and what righteousness to turn to. And yet, one of the things that John had been telling them was that there was someone coming who would not just put water on them that told them that they needed to repent, but he would pour out the Holy Spirit upon them who could enable them to repent. It's wonderful how it lines up with our catechism question this week, isn't it? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby, what does he do? Convincing us of our sin and misery, doing in our hearts the convincing of what the water of John's baptism said, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, teaching us that it's not John who is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ, teaching us who he is and what he has done, and renewing our wills so that we would not just be persuaded but also enabled, overcoming the resistance of our flesh, enabling us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. And so all of the people who had that message that there was one coming who could give the repentance that John's baptism said they needed, they were there when all the people were baptized. It came to pass that Jesus, also the Son of God, identified himself with us. The entire mass of humanity that needs repentance. And the Father said he didn't need repentance. And that's setting us up. So if the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased," what is he doing identifying himself with people who need repentance? Well, he's enabling us when we embrace him, when we belong to him, who becomes the new Adam, the first of the new humanity, to be his children, whom he loves in Christ. His children in Christ, whom he loves in Christ, with whom in Christ he is well pleased. Yes, Ezekiel. I'll get you a tissue. Yes. So, when you believe in Jesus, what the Father says of Christ at his baptism, with the Holy Spirit descended upon him, the Father says also by the same Holy Spirit, whom he has sent forth into the hearts of those who believe, the same thing about you. What do Romans 8 and Galatians 4 teach us that the Holy Spirit does for us, in addition to convincing us and of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds and knowledge of Christ, renewing our wills? He also makes us to cry out, "Abba, Father." He makes us identify with Christ and recognize that we have been adopted by God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that this is presented now as the fulfillment of all that God was doing in human history. You know, other people who don't know Christ, they trace human history through the so-called great civilizations. You know, Egypt and Syria and Assyria and Babylon and Persia and the Greeks and the Romans. We trace from Adam to Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, in whom all the families of the earth were to be blessed. And Isaac and Jacob, who received the same promise. David, who was promised that from him would come the forever king. And now Jesus has come, being adopted in those lines. You know, Jesus is considered as the son of Joseph. We know that he was born of Mary, but not Joseph. But so Adam also was considered, reckoned in a sort of way as a son of God, as we have at the end of this passage. And so by tracing all the way back to Adam, reminds us of all of the promises that would be fulfilled in Christ. And it tells us this is the story of all human history. So what should we do? First, we should recognize that we are God's children. Rejoice that we have been adopted. Second, we should want to be like Christ. Seek Him by the work of His Spirit and the means that He has appointed to make us more and more pleasing in our behavior to the God who loved us and adopted us and is already pleased with us for Christ's sake. Walk in a manner worthy of calling us God's beloved children. Imitate Christ. Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us to see and know more of who Christ is and what he has done. We thank you for revealing yourself as a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would help us to know that you are as pleased with us in Christ as you are pleased with him. And yet, O God, we still need to be walking in that repentance that he gives by his Spirit, that you give by your Spirit. And we pray that you would help us to identify our sin and to hate it and to turn from it and know that we are beloved children and desire to walk in a way that pleases you. So do this for us, we ask, in Jesus' name. And your children here say, Amen.